T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
To UBS Arena tonight, Big Evan.
Yeah.
Evan's got his Islander sweatshirt on. My net niece said I better rock up with Islander gear on, but right now I'm wearing, I never told you that I'm friendly with Darius Rucker, Hootie and the Blowfish.
Well, I've grown to assume you're friends with everyone.
No, I'm not.
So
I'm not.
Kind of a
safe
thing.
But Darius and I are pals, going way back in the day, and Darius has designed a new line of flannel shirts with Fanatics.
Huh.
So he and Fanatics were kind enough to send me the first one off the presses. I got my black flannel shirt on. On the left breast, it says Jets, 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 right?
Yes.
And that's my main man, Darius
Isn't
Rucker.
Isn't Darius
Wagon
Rucker?
Wagon wheel.
Isn't Darius Rucker a diehard Dolphins fan?
Yes, he is. Huh. He did it for all NFL teams. Yeah. So I want to thank Darius, who for a while didn't speak to me.
Why?
Well, because Darius Rucker has a famous golf tournament the week right after the Masters. And it's down in Carolina, right? So, I'm just putting a little Vaseline on my lips. My
You've
lips
been Vaseline-ing your lips this entire show.
My
you
lips,
okay?
It's part of Tourette's. I lick my lips a lot.
Right.
My lips are incredibly chapped and probably quite rosy
I've
red right now.
I just never noticed this till today. Like
yeah,
constantly...
it happened yesterday. Started yesterday.
Oh, I didn't notice it yesterday.
In
my
any
bad.
Event... So he invited me to come down with Boomer to play in his annual golf tournament. And it's like a celebrity charity tournament. So that's where I first met your buddy, Ric Flair. Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. Yeah. Ric Flair and I were supposed to play golf together.
That
okay?
would have been awesome.
So anyway.
Limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun.
Woo! There you go. Yeah, there it is. So we go down there, convince Boomer and Al Dukes, we're going to go down to Carolina. It's one night. We'll do our show from Darius's golf tournament, and then we'll play in the golf tournament and then come back home. So Boomer gets the private jet, boom, all set for it. We fly down. Me, Al, and Boomer had to share a condo, right? A two-bedroom condo. Very awkward, okay? We get up early in the morning. We go do the show. The show ends where it's like 10 o'clock in the morning where you're supposed to tee off at 11 a.m. And we're like, we just want to go home. We don't want to play. So I had to go to Darius and say, listen, we're not going to make it.
Oh.
Yeah. So they're teeing off. We're pulling out.
Now
he was not happy.
I don't understand something. The other day, you ripped me as a terrible friend for leaving my friend at a Met Yankee game after the Louis.
Despicable behavior.
Well, what's that?
I did the show from the event. I promoted the event.
Come on.
I just didn't play in the event.
Yes, but he expected you to play in the event. Like,
yeah, he did, didn't he?
For you to kill me 2 days ago for ditching my boy after a historically bad Met loss, and then you tell us this story.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're the bigger
So, but no, we've made up,
oh,
Darius and I, and he was kind enough to send me the Jet shirt.
Nice.
So that's why I'm wearing my brand new Jet flannel and not a New York Islander shirt
Will
today.
You put an Islander shirt on at the game?
If John Ledecky has an Islander hoodie for me, extra large,
oh my God.
I will wear it, yes.
Yeah,
Even though I did pick the Rangers to win the Stanley Cup
this year. By the way, can I give you some credit?
Yeah.
The Rangers have looked awesome.
Yeah, I told you they were going to the Stanley Cup final this year.
Well, I wouldn't go all the way there yet, but they certainly are looking like a playoff team.
But when I said it to you, you mocked me. I gave you my two picks for the NHL this year.
Well, the other picks
I know
terrible.
Nothing about hockey. Was the Rangers and the Kraken.
How are the Kraken doing?
I have no idea.
Do you want me to tell you?
I don't care how they're doing.
Oh,
I like the
care.
Gear, and they're my favorite team out West.
They're not good.
Okay. How my Rangers pick going?
So far, so good.
Yeah, so who knows more hockey than me?
A lot of people.
Probably true. That's probably fair and probably true, yes. Here is Paul in Jersey. Hey, Paul, what's going on?
How are you? First-time caller.
All right.
I wanted to ask who you guys think would be the top three candidates for the Mets job, since they can still look for a manager.
Yeah.
And once the lockout is over, do you think they would try to trade McNeil maybe for a relief pitcher and bring in Chris Bryant to play third base?
Yes. Yes. I think that Jeff McNeil's gone. Yesterday, Billy Epler gave us nothing. We tried, but he gave us nothing. But I think that Jeff McNeil is going to be one of the guys moved as part of changing the culture in this locker room. It isn't as simple as, oh, Marcus Stroman, let's get rid of him. I think there are other things in this room that they're going to try to clean up. And whether it's fair or not, I'm not blaming Jeff McNeil. He had a scuffle with the $300 million man. I don't know if it's going to be for a relief pitcher. I'm not sure what it's going to be for. But yes, I expect them to move Jeff McNeil. I hope they're in on Chris Bryant. And as far as the manager is concerned, I got to tell you, I got to be perfectly honest with you.
Go ahead.
This is a weird thing to say. I don't even care that much. I'm a diehard Met fan. I'm passionate about every move they make. I'm passionate about their farm system. I'm passionate about everything. But when it comes to the manager of this team, I'm taking a very, okay. You want to hire Buck Showalter? Okay.
Yeah?
You want to hire Mike Socha?
Right?
Okay.
Because of the minimization of the job.
Sort of, yeah. I mean, I understand the opinion of get me an experienced guy with a veteran team. Okay. You want a guy that's managed before. But even if it's Brad Ausmus, whose resume is super unimpressive. Okay. Like, that's not going to determine if the Mets win or not. What's going to determine if they win or not is, can Francisco Lindor bounce back? Is Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom healthy? So I know a lot of Met fans are very passionate about the managerial search. I would be a fraud if I came on the radio and started screaming and yelling about who I want. Because it's not true. I'm very indifferent to who they hire as manager.
So no matter who they hire, you won't be critical of it?
I'll be all right with it, yes.
So you're not going to have an emotional, I can't believe they went down that road.
Yes.
That whole thing.
I will not do that. I can't see them hiring someone that causes me to do that.
What if they brought in Wally Backman?
I'd laugh.
You'd guffaw.
I'd first start laughing.
Ha ha.
And then I would say, I don't know if this is the right decision.
See? So there are guys out there that if they hired, you would question.
I would question.
Ausmus is not among them. Okay.
I mean, what are we going to kill Brad Ausmus about? That
I'm
he managed
asking.
One lousy year with the Angels?
I thought the story we learned yesterday from Robert Wall makes Ausmus a great guy to hire.
So you think,
I love that story. So that is a Roger Clemens told story.
So you think because Brad Ausmus said something really witty and broke the tension.
Yeah, I love
it. In a tension-filled Houston Astros charter flight after blowing Game 5 against the Cardinals on that majestic Pujols home run. You think that qualifies him to be the manager?
Yes. For me, it makes him the leader in the clubhouse. Because I don't think Buck Showalter ever would have did it.
Come on, Buck's got a good personality. Buck's a funny guy.
Hey, get me Buck Showalter on the horn, will you? Let's see what he's doing these days.
Why do you hate Buck Showalter?
That's a good question. Because I will say this. I don't hate him. That's a bad word.
Why do you mock the idea?
I dislike him less having seen him on TV.
Okay.
But I still don't like him.
What don't you like about him? The guy's a good manager. Don't we admit
there's
that?
There's some aspect when he was managing where there's like, he seemed douchey to me. And I don't know the man.
I think I know why you don't like Buck Showalter.
He just seemed a little douchey.
You don't like Buck Showalter because he's the easy candidate on hosts and callers' minds.
No, I don't care about that. If you guys think that Buck Showalter helps the Mets win a World Series, then hire him. Like, I'm not saying you shouldn't hire the guy. And I respect the fact that he's a very good manager. I'm not for the life of me saying he's not. I thought Steinbrenner screwed him. I thought he clearly would have won at least one, if not two or three World Series, had he been able to keep the job before Torrey got here. I think we can all agree on that.
Not necessarily, but okay.
He was not going over with that squad. Let's see. He would have won a World Series.
Okay.
He would have
won.
I'm
not arguing with you, Craig. Continue on.
Thank you. You want to, but you're not going
no,
to.
No, you want to argue with me. I'm not arguing.
Yeah, I don't know. He just has this demeanor. Maybe it's not who he really is.
Wow. Hold on. We got to stop the show. This is unbelievable. We have to congratulate. Is this true? Is this really just happened? Craig,
this
sit
sounds
down.
Like a complete non-story.
For the 15th time in his legendary career,
I got nominated for another Pulse of the People Award.
We would both like to congratulate Kevin Durant, Player of the Month. Congratulations,
stop it.
Kevin Durant.
Does he get Juju Bees without award?
Come on, what are we doing?
Does he get a gift certificate to Cracker Barrel for winning that?
Durant.
Yeah.
Well, if you're allowed to double dribble and still play the game, I guess you can win awards like that. Here's Mike in the Heineken truck. I see no Heineken in front of me, however. Mike, what's going on, buddy?
I would love to bring you some Heineken, guys.
I'd love to drink some Heineken. All good, go ahead.
Well, next time. You guys were talking about talking to veterans when you were younger.
Yeah.
When I was in eighth grade, one of our assignments that our teacher gave me was to go home and ask my father what he was doing during the Vietnam War.
Okay.
And I actually had no idea. He actually was working for the FBI, taking the pictures of draft dodgers and all this. And it was an amazing assignment I had. I still remember it. But during that, we had a janitor walking by, and our teacher brought him in, and he was in the Vietnam War, and his name was Larry. I'll never forget this guy. And he spoke to us for around 30 minutes, and he just opened up. It took him a little bit, but once he started opening up and speaking to us, it was one of the most emotional things I've ever experienced in school. I was 14 or 15. You don't think about it, you know, but the stories he told, he got into detail, and it was scary. It was... And just out there, if you could talk to your parents about it, or grandparents at this point, just do it because it hits home. It's amazing.
I really want to do something now where, you know, we interview, you know, and hopefully you could do it on video so people can, you know, meet the people, you know, veterans who are still alive who can share their stories. I think it'd be a great project to undertake. So I appreciate you sharing that. And listen, how old the guy are you now? You're in your 30s now?
I'm 42.
42. So that's something that, as a ninth grader, you know, left an impact 14, on your life, which is a pretty cool thing, right?
Yeah, it was awesome. That's why when you started talking about it, I had to call
up. Good job, Mike. Appreciate it, buddy. And listen, next time you're in the neighborhood, just let a case drop off the back. We're good with that.
Accidentally.
Accidentally is correct. Accidentally, yes. Never on purpose, Evan.
No, of course not.
Don't you think, like, this could be a silly thing, but, like, if you're like you drive the Pepsi truck, the Gatorade truck, the Heineken truck, or, you know, the Snapple truck, don't you think they throw a couple extra cases on just in case?
Just in case it accidentally falls off?
Like, don't you think they do that?
That'd be a smart strategy.
I lost three cases today.
Well, if you're the driver, aren't you taking a bunch of cases yourself?
Well,
thirsty.
Thus, the extra cases, Evan.
Oh, that's what it's for?
Yeah.
I thought it was to accidentally drop it off for your favorite radio show.
Like a buddy of mine used to drive for Pepsi. So that's like Sierra Mist, Pepsi, whatever, whatever, whatever. And Pepsi got to the point where they just knew that it was going to leave the truck, that they told every driver, pack the truck with all the stuff you need for your route, and then whatever else you want, just put it on the truck. Like, you don't have to hide it. You don't have to steal it.
So add to it.
But make sure you have enough. Like, every stop on your route, you got to replenish, right?
So our Heineken driver friend probably has a few extra cases
anyway.
But
I'm not sure if beer companies do that.
Why not?
Because it's beer.
So
I have no idea. But I'd like to find out. Pappygate. All over again. Did any of you watch that last night because I told you about it?
No.
You didn't watch it last night? The Bourbon King?
No.
Heist?
No.
On Netflix? No?
No.
Nobody.
AEW was on, bro.
You had no interest last night
Dynamite
in seeing
was hot.
A one-hour special on Pappygate.
No.
Because you were watching wrestling.
Sting wrestled, man.
Sting wrestled? Yeah. What's he, 90?
He's close.
He's like 60.
Oh, come on.
That's why I said close.
Can't we get any younger wrestlers?
They do have younger wrestlers.
He tag teams with a younger wrestler.
You're getting Lugie very defensive
Darby
right
Allen.
Now. Did you raise your hand or you just
I did. I had like a half hand raise.
I didn't call on you, though.
That's true, but it's wrestling.
He hears AEW.
If you don't go to me in wrestling, when are you going to go to me?
He hears AEW. He's like, that mic's going on.
I mean, I guess if it's AEW, he's allowed to just go.
That's what I'm thinking.
I was driving home last night with Anthony. He said, it's so cool that I had an open mic and Tommy didn't.
Did he hear our show at 6:30? I had an open mic there.
Did you hear what happened with these two last night?
I heard about it after the fact. I heard that the Pony Express... Yeah, they couldn't connect or something happened, so you guys stepped in, which is great.
It was crazy. I tuned in waiting to hear the bad gambling advice, and all of a sudden, I hear Lugie talking. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And these two guys were arguing about the Mets and the Yankees. It was scintillating radio.
Stepped right in and did your job.
Did a hell of a job.
Nice. You going to put an invoice in for that?
You betcha.
Yeah.
Bet your ass. Or already have. Yeah.
But did you see how that developed? I thought it was fascinating. So they can't connect to the Pony Express, fine. Our PD Spike quickly makes a decision.
Yeah.
And his decision was for the half hour to have Big Mac and Lugie do the show.
Good.
What was surprising is...
Lugie?
Loogie.
Yeah, it surprised me too.
Big Mac does shows all the time by himself. It's a half hour. Why did Spike say Loogie too, as opposed to, hey, Big Mac, you're a veteran host now on this radio station. Take care of the bridge for me. Surprising.
Because they just did Thanksgiving Friday.
Yeah, but Big Mac does shows by himself all the time.
Have you
heard
them
shows? Including that 7 o'clock to 7:20 bridge show. I've done a lot.
Were you upset that he asked Tom to be a part of it?
Of course not. No.
So zip your lip and stop causing trouble.
Yeah, I'm not causing trouble.
Where there is no trouble.
I was making an observation. Right. I was surprised. Good for you, Luke.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you are unbelievable trying to create trouble
No trouble.
And I'm being told that
a riff back here.
Beer truck drivers do get a certain amount of cases per week for their own personal, you know, either enjoyment or gifting.
Not while they're working, obviously.
Obviously not, yeah. So at the end of the day, you know, you got like 5 extra cases, you take care of your buddies.
So our Heineken friend has a few extra cases for us if he chooses so.
Apparently not today.
Not today, though.
Here's Joe in Westport, Connecticut. Joe, how are you, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, Evan and Carton? Do you guys ever hear the Battle of Hurricane Forest?
Vaguely, they made a movie about it, if I'm not mistaken, called Hill 493 or something like that. I might be off on that. So I'm vaguely aware of it, but not all that much.
Yeah, my father was in the 9th Division. They were called Old Reliables. They fought there. It was an inconsequential area. They really didn't have to go in there.
Right.
But they did it because of ego. They did it. They could have gone around it because they had no tactical reason to go in there. But we lost about 20,000 guys over there. The Army doesn't like to talk about it a lot. It was in the Ardennes, and it was, you know, probably a month before Battle of the Bulge. We got wiped out over there, massacred. What they did, it was all trees, an old forest, and all the trees were like 4 to 6 feet apart, and the shells would come in and just split people up.
I hear you.
My father made it back. He was badly wounded.
Did he?
He told me that story before he died. He lived to 67.
Right.
He was the 9th Division was the first division to invade Africa.
Wow.
It also went into Normandy at day 4. There was no battle on the beach at Normandy day 4, but most of the people died at Normandy in the farms. They brought the old veterans back that fought in Africa. They brought them in day 3, day 4, and they fought through Normandy farms. And 20,000 died in those farms. That's where tons of people died fighting in the northern France there.
So I'm just reading it online here. They claim that the U.S. First Army lost 33,000in the Hurricane Forest, and some people think as many as 55,000 perished there. And they recognized, as you say, the U.S. 9th Army. I know that there was a movie done about it. I thought it was called what I said, but I could be totally off on that. But what an amazing story that your dad told you, huh? Crazy.
Yes, and not many people knew about it. You know, on the beach at North, and U.S. lost 1,700.
You're breaking up a bit, but I appreciate you sharing that, and I respect your emotion.
I wonder if the reason it isn't taught as much is because it was considered a loss for the Allies.
Probably.
That's not a reason for it not to be taught, clearly. We won the war, but it is considered a bad loss for us and a victory for the Germans. But, yeah, I wasn't that familiar with it, but we lost so many people in that.
Yeah, and I appreciate him getting choked up there. Like, it's his dad. But that's why I'm telling you, man, do it with your parents before it's too late. And I would love to start a project where we sit down and talk to military service. In fairness, there's
different things. There's talking to people who served overseas, and there's talking to my mom about if she was having sex with other men.
Oh, you want to know?
There's
know
a
both.
Difference. So don't equate that amazing story of me trying to find out what my grandfathers were doing when they were in the Pacific with,
hey, was your mom a whore before she got married?
I'm not saying she was.
No, your mom was.
No, my mom said she wasn't.
Right, she wasn't, but she could have been. So don't equate the two.
I'm not equating the two.
You did.
The only similarity here or commonality is letting people tell their story before they're dead so the stories live on.
I agree with you on that.
It's the Native American way.
Yes.
Yes. So call your mother up and
ask her. No, I don't want to find out about her sex life.
Well, ask her other things. It'll lead to that.
Well, I'll think of other things, but
yeah,
finding out about that is far different than
of course
war stories from World War II.
I'm going to start interviewing old military personnel. That's going to be a focus of mine at some point here.
What age are we looking at? Are we looking at World War II?
Vietnam? It's too late, too late for World War I, unfortunately.
Yes.
Right?
You better go on World War II. I mean, that's unfortunate. Both my grandparents aren't around anymore for me to pester them with more questions.
I'm going to. Had the idea right now. I haven't organized it yet.
Well, get to work.
Do you want to be involved in the project? I'm calling it the War Project.
The War Project.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a podcast. It's going to be a YouTube video. Whole thing.
You have a lot of projects that you've thought of that you haven't done.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You realize that, right?
Oh, yeah. No, trust me. I know.
How are the overalls going?
That's not my fault. They're not done. I set Izzo up with all the tools he needed to make it happen. I got him a designer. I got him the idea. Everything.
What about the podcast with the people that are about to die? What happened to that one?
Well, yeah, that one hasn't happened yet either. Although, speaking of which, I should tell you that last night I was invited. It was like a last-minute invitation, so I obviously said no to it. The great Bill Bradley last night did a one-man show.
Really?
Yes.
Talking about
his life.
That's pretty cool, actually.
And they were videotaping it to turn it into some type of Bill Bradley documentary.
Really?
Because how old is Bill Bradley?
He's
70-something, right?
Yeah, I would say high 70s, low 80s.
Yeah, so apparently last night, Bill Bradley on stage.
78, by the way.
Okay, so I assume he's doing this so that his life will live on for his heirs, right?
Right.
So apparently on stage last night, the great Bill Bradley told his life story from his earliest memory through Princeton, through the NBA, through politics, and it was apparently really cool.
One-time thing?
Yeah.
He's not going to do it again?
I don't think so.
Oh,
yeah.
That would have been awesome.
But I got a late invitation to it.
How late?
So I said no.
How late?
As Robert Wall was walking out of the building, he invited me.
That was what happened?
Yeah, that's where he went last night.
Wow.
But pretty interesting, though,
that
right?
is really... How long was it, you think?
I don't know.
Think
but I know
Bill,
they were videotaping the whole thing Bill, for a
Bill
documentary.
Bill Bradley's had a fascinating life.
He's had... To be fair, at least two, maybe three lives.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. He's had one of the most accomplished lives you'll ever see. So I would think that if he's going to tell his life story and all of his memories... A
couple hours,
that could
right?
take a couple of hours?
Yeah, but I don't think you want to do that twice.
That's like 9 hours. If you went on, seriously, if you went on stage, and said, I'm going to tell my life story, everything, how long would it take?
34 minutes.
Some of your stories individually take more than 34 minutes.
True. I don't take hours and hours and hours.
Hours and hours and hours.
Yeah. Yeah. So here, it was at the Marin Theater last night. Let me just make sure I have this right. It was at the Marin Theater. Is this right? No. The Marin Theater, that's in Mill Valley, California. That's not it.
Maybe so he invited you to go to California.
Maybe he's done this a couple times then, actually. Yeah. No, he was in the city last night. He was in the city last night. So maybe he's done this. Maybe you're right. Maybe he's done it a couple times. Would you have any interest in seeing that?
Oh, 100%.
More because of his Nick days?
No.
Or because of his politician days?
Politics. He ran for president in 2000, remember? He didn't get the nomination. He lost to Al Gore.
See? How the world could be a different place.
Could have been different. He could have won, and then he would have lost to George W. Bush.
Chris has a good question
or
about tonight.
George W. Bush.
Hey, Chris, you're on the fan. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Thanks doing great. Cool. What's good, Cookie?
Well, I was a little concerned about you, Craigie. You're going to the game tonight, and it sounds like you got a ride there. I was wondering how you're getting home.
Well, I guess it depends if the Islanders win, right?
Now,
here's what I'm doing. Because of Evan's story with his buddy Chad, we are both driving to the UBS Arena tonight.
I do want to make something clear. I've learned from my mistakes in life. I've made many a mistake in life. And one of the things I've learned is that no matter how brutal a loss, I have to drive my friends home. So even if I drove you, Craig, let's say the Islanders blew a 3-0 lead with 3 minutes to go in the third period, some kind of awful, awful loss.
Gary Bettman did tell me a 3-goal lead is the worst lead in hockey.
Right. I would still drive you back. Yeah, I've learned from my mistakes in life. I really have.
Yeah, but here's the other thing. Evan's not as passionate about a regular season kind of ho-hum Islander game as he is Mets-Yankees.
I agree,
right?
But even still, I wouldn't do that.
That being said, and you know I love you, I'm not risking it.
Oh, you wouldn't trust it?
No.
Well, so we went to Knicks-Nets, and Evan Fournier's three-point shot went down.
Great example.
That would have been a great example.
What would have happened, and you drove me to Barclays.
Yes.
And you're my ride home.
Yes.
And Fournier walks and drops the 45-foot three to win the game. Am I looking for a ride home?
100%.
Yes. That's the problem. That's the problem.
Yeah, no, I guess it's a case-by-case basis. If you're a Knicks fan with me at that game and Fournier walks it off with a game-winning three, you got to find your own ride home. I agree with that. You're right. So I guess I really haven't learned from my mistakes. I'm the same miserable human I was 13
you're
years
just
ago.
You're just not, you know, a foxhole guy.
I'm not a foxhole guy?
You're not a foxhole guy.
You're not a foxhole guy.
I was, then I wasn't, and now I am again.
How could you compare my fandom and being upset after a loss to being in a foxhole?
Because nobody wants to be on Atlantic Avenue by themselves at midnight.
Well, you know what?
Sorry.
Grow up. You're an adult.
Yeah.
Go call an Uber.
Yeah. Go call an Uber.
Go get
I don't have a credit card. How am I calling an Uber?
Go take the subway and figure. It's not like you're 9 years
the
old.
The subway?
Like if I took your son, if I took Anthony Carton to the game.
Yeah.
And Evan Fournier, it's the game winning three. And I said, you know what, Anthony? Find your own way home.
Yes.
Then I'm a miserable human. I wouldn't do that.
He'd be all right, though.
He'd be better than you,
actually. He'd be fine. He'd be a junior's eating cheesecakes waiting for a ride to come get him.
He would. But with you as an adult, I mean, go. I'm going to give you a cry for you. Go find your own way home.
No, but you are my way home.
There's other ways to get home,
So you leave me in the... You left Chad in the Bronx. You're going to leave me at Atlantic Avenue.
If it ended that way, yes. If it was just a normal loss, I think I would have been good to drive
That's
you
why
home.
I'm driving tonight. Yeah, now the question is, are we going to have that camaraderie in friendship, or are we racing each other to the UBS Arena? Is it a situation of who can get there first? I know a better way than you know.
Yes.
Or are we going with, we're going to the game together, we should walk in together,
no,
arrive together, the whole bit?
I think we race.
You want to race to UBS?
Absolutely. I think we should take two completely different routes.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to tell you my route.
I'm not going to tell you my route.
Well, my route is going to be Waze's route. Wherever Waze tells me to do,
so
I
you're
do.
Just going to listen to whatever they tell
I'm
you?
I'm a total bitch when it comes to Waze. Waze tells me to make a right into the Hudson. I'm making a right.
You just go.
And by the way, there have been a few times when Waze has told me to drive into the river. Yes, it has happened.
What do you prefer? Would you prefer to follow each other?
I think we should probably get there together since we were invited together. Like, it wasn't like you and I came up with this. My niece invited you and I to go to the game.
No, listen.
So you and I should arrive together.
I respect that, but let's say I beat you in said race.
Here's what'll bother me. What? If I walk into the UBS Arena, and I walk in, and you're like, three wings deep, and you're in the middle of a joke where the box is like, Roberts, you slay me. I'd be upset about
that. That would upset you?
Yeah.
I'll make you this deal. That's exactly what happened when we went into the SNY suite. I beat you by a lot, and I was already in there eating, having a good time, had my scorebook ready, all good. Yeah. And then you walked in like 15 minutes later.
Yeah, the thing that bothered me about that suite that night is that they got me Shake Shack at my request, which I was very grateful for. I didn't know how many they bought. So they gave me a Shake Shack burger, and I cut it in half with my hands. Mm-hmm. And I said, Evan, have half a Shake Shack. And you looked at me with disdain, like I had offered you dog food. And you were like, I don't want your leftovers or half-eaten burger. And I'm like, I don't know if they got you one. Just take half of mine. And you said no to me.
I did.
And then it turned out they bought 30 of them, so there was plenty for Evan to have as many as he wanted.
So what bothered you?
I never forgot that.
Why?
Because I was doing the right thing as a partner, and you shooed me away.
Craig, do you think I had any
Big
reason...
Big Mac wouldn't have done that.
He's also more desperate for the burger. Do you think that there's reason for me to believe that you didn't break it off with your hand, that you bit it and handed it to me?
Would I have some reason to believe that?
Either way.
It doesn't matter.
That was my concern. And I think most people listening would say, hey, Evan, that's a fair concern.
877-337-6666. We get more of your calls. Obviously, a lot of people have stories about their relatives who served time in the military. We'll certainly take those calls with great respect. We're going to the Islander game tonight. The New York Yankees now have all the time in the world to make the offer to make them the best team in baseball. Will they? We'll find out. Plus, we have an update on Joe Judge and Daniel Jones and Kadarius Toney right after this on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
You may be aware that there's a report out there about a change in the lineup here at WFAN, so that is that story is factual. We have a new midday show that'll be starting here. I don't know when, but I guess in the very near future, and that will be Brandon Tierney and Tiki Barber. So while we're certainly happy for them, feel for Moose and Maggie, who did a great job here at WFAN. I'm not sure what the future holds for them. But I do know that it is the story is out there in public, so no reason to hide from it. But Tiki and Tierney will be our new midday show. For the last 8 years, they've been doing an afternoon show on the CBS Sports Radio Network, and they will now move that show over to here to be a local show, obviously. Brandon Tierney is from New York, obviously the voice of St. John's basketball. Has worked in New York for a long time, did a stretch out in San Francisco as well. And you all know Tiki Barber, of course. So that show will begin at some point in the near future. And Moose and Maggie, I believe, did their last show today. Not sure what the future holds for them, but certainly wish them the very best. They were great teammates to have here and hope that they land on their feet.
I don't want to get you all upset, but
why would you get me upset?
You're no longer the number one Knick fan at WFAN.
Yeah, I am, and always will be.
Brandon Tierney takes the throne. Sorry, I call like it is as a Net fan. BT, no, look, if you guys want to battle over it, I respect it. I'll be a fair judge,
But I think he's taking that crown from you. My apologies.
No apologies. Like I don't know. Maybe
my apologies.
Maybe you and Keith McPherson battle over who gets to call themselves number one.
No, we don't do that as Net fans.
Neither do we.
You have said many times as the number one Nick
fan. Well, I was the number one Nick fan because everyone else is Fergazi around here.
So you'd agree?
I heard people on this radio station after the loss to the Nets saying, good, solid performance, moral victory. What?
So you're saying BT is not that when it comes to the Knicks.
I'm saying a diehard Knicks fan.
As is he.
And he is a diehard Knicks fan.
So you're accepting that.
There's no battle among us of who's the bigger Knicks fan. And you're in trouble because now we're like the Wonder Twins. Two bald Knicks fans.
I know. I'm very intimidated by it.
Wonder Twin powers activate.
I got to get to Tiki and make sure he roots for the Nets. That's what I need to do.
No.
Yeah.
I'm sure Tiki Barber already has.
I'm sure Tiki is a fan. Has spent 8 years sitting next to Brandon Tierney. I'm sure he became a Net fan because of that. All right?
Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't.
You're damn
know.
Right.
Anyway, so the story's out there, and that's what it is. All right. But I do want to leave. Represent. This is a crazy business at times, and wish I really do on a personal level hope for the best for both of them, and hope that they're still part of the company moving forward. Here is Chris in Ocean County. Chris, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Craigie. What's up?
What's good with you, kiddo?
Good. If Freddie Freeman or Carlos Correa don't come to the Yankees, I'm by getting my own blame pull, I'm putting you right on it.
Amen.
Say that again.
He's right. He said if either, even both. He's actually being really sweet, Chris.
Go ahead.
If either Correa or Freeman doesn't sign with the New York Yankees.
Either?
Chris in Ocean County is going to build his own blame pole.
Yeah.
And he's going to stick your bald head on the top of the blame pole.
Okay, so let me ask you this. If Correa signs and Freeman just stays in Atlanta, I did something wrong?
Yes. 100%. You said he's coming.
You did.
I did.
And guess
yes.
what? You're not just being on the top of the blame pole. You're being in the middle of the blame pole and the bottom of the blame pole.
I agree.
So I will take the entire blame pole if they don't get both of them?
See, here's what happened. When Steve Cohen a few weeks ago set the bar really high for the New York Mets and what they were going to do in the offseason, we held him to high expectations.
Yeah, as you should have.
And he went out and signed Max Scherzer.
Yes.
You on the radio the last 2 days, and many of us have heard it, including Chris, have proclaimed the Yankees will sign both Carlos Correa and Freddie Freeman. You're setting the bar way high.
As it
so
should
if
be.
They don't end up with either one of them, whoa, that's a bad look for you, bro.
And Craig, I got something for you
to
also.
Mock me. Go ahead. Feel free. Yes.
No, not to mock you. To mock Evan. I think it's a very good job that you're not going with Evan today to the UBS. Great job, by you.
I didn't hear what he said. I thought he said something else for me, but I didn't hear what it was.
No, I'm saying this is a compliment for you.
Oh, I didn't hear what it was, so repeat it.
It's a very smart idea not to trust Evan to go to take the
Yeah, that's
UBS
right. That's why I'm driving my Hyundai Elantra right from the
I do admit
from the grounds of New York City out to UBS. That's right.
I do admit it is a wise decision.
Yes, I'm aware that it's a wise decision.
But
I only make wise decisions these days.
But the problem is, I've seen you drive in New York City with traffic.
I am like Mario Andretti meets the guy that invented the Shelby.
No, you're more like Mario Kart, okay? You can't drive
very
well.
I'll take Mario Kart, too. Just remember, the one time I drove with you in the city, you didn't know how to get to where we were going.
I knew exactly what to do.
Didn't recognize the truck in your
yes,
way.
Yes, I did. I'm a New York driver. I don't need to switch lanes three and a half blocks before I see a truck.
Okay.
At the last second, you make the lane switch. That's all you need to do.
Okay. Well, listen, I don't want it to be a competition, Evan, because I want to walk in with you. We are a team.
No, we will walk in together. Like, when I get there 10 minutes before you, I'll wait. I told you that. I'll wait in the parking lot till you get there.
That's fine with me.
I'm a loyal guy.
Don't matter to me. I'm sure I'm going to get lost anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, even though I got ways, though.
What's going to end up happening is I'm going to be in the parking lot. I'm going to call you and say, where are you? And you're going to say, I don't know where I am. I think I'm in Queens. And then I'm going to have to, like, kind of guide you to UBS Arena. That's how I think this whole thing's going to go down.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's my prediction.
All right, well, listen, we are going to the game. I'm very excited about it. Evan pre-ordered food in the suite, which is comical considering he's not a tipper in a suite.
Wait, no, hold on a
second. Evan got the Eddie pasta and the wings.
But you act as if I demanded food in the suite. Well, you came to me and said, what would you like in this suite? And you gave me choices. And I said, okay, this and this.
I showed Evan the menu. And when my niece said, what do you guys want? I said, I'm good with whatever.
That's what I said.
Evan wants the antipasta and the wings.
You're the worst.
And that's what I told
her. I see the way you manipulate now.
Now I get wings and antipasta, and you're the one that ordered
it. And by the way,
yes.
Even though, I forgot what I was going to say. It's something about the food I completely forgot.
Here is Brian and Saville on the Fan. Brian, how are you?
What's up, guys?
I'm excited about this baseball lockout. I think it's great for the sport.
Phenomenal. Yeah. Phenomenal job.
No doubt.
Craig, great job yesterday on that show, Heist.
Yeah, awesome, right?
Awesome, awesome. It was really good, and just another solid recommendation.
Did you watch all of them or just the one on the Pappy Gate?
Just on Pappy Gate.
So the next one you should watch is the armored car heist from Las Vegas.
All right. I'll do it tonight.
I forget the name of that one. So they're basically all like two episodes an hour each.
Right.
So there was this like very attractive, maybe 21-year-old gal who's kind of lost in life. You know, came from kind of a weird family, whatever, and she winds up falling for this con man, basically, right? And they're just, you know, they're into like tantric sex and black magic and all this crap. And the guy goes, I have a great idea. You know what we should do? And she goes, what? She's a kid. He goes, we should rob a casino. And she's like, that's a great idea. Count me in. Like, no joke. That's how casual it was. So she gets a job as a driver. It wasn't Brinks. I'm forgetting the name of the armored car company that handles all the cash for the casinos in Vegas, so like to refill the ATMs, that kind of stuff, right? She gets a job. She's there for like 3 weeks as a driver. She's a terrible driver. The other guards are like, she gets lost. It's, you know, the whole thing, right? And they steal like $3 million from Circus Circus.
from Circus Circus.
They get away with it.
Wow.
Yeah. And long story short, she's living the life, an assumed life under a different name in like Amsterdam or something. And her passport's about to expire. So she has to make a decision. Get another fake passport, passports last 10 years, or turn herself in and cop to the crime, literally, Evan, 20 years later. She decides to turn herself in.
Wow.
I'm not going to tell you the rest of it because you really should watch.
I mean, you told the whole story, though.
Yeah. She goes to prison.
I mean, it's a very interesting story, and you're a great storyteller.
Yeah.
But you told the whole story.
But you got to watch it anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like they got away with it.
Right.
They still haven't found the guy.
Right.
Yeah, they got away with it. Crazy story.
Crazy.
Yeah, she robbed the bank. Circus Circus armored car. Yeah. Here's Perry in Richfield on the Fan. Perry, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great. What's up?
Yeah. Hey, just wanted to tell you a quick story about my dad in World War II. I think it's worth repeating.
All right. Sure.
Yeah. He died a couple of years ago, and he started talking to me about this when he was like 92, 93.
All right.
And it was about the bombing of Dresden.
Okay.
Which happened, I believe, right a few months after D-Day. So the first part of the story is he was a pilot of B-17s.
Yeah.
He was stationed in Bury St. Edmunds, 21 years old, and he was doing that. They were stationed in Bury St. Edmunds, about 100 miles outside of London. They called every pilot and co-pilot and bombardier into a big tent. You know, it was hundreds of guys, and told them, we're gonna go on a mission right now. We're going to bomb the city of Dresden.
Yeah.
We're going to wipe out the Messerschmitt factories, the Luftwaffe stuff, the tank factories.
Yeah.
And make no mistake about it, your bombs are going to fall on neighborhoods and on hospitals. Because it was right in the middle of the city. And he said, and the general who was talking said, anybody here who's not good with this could get up and leave. And my dad told me not one person got up and left.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, they all stayed there.
Did he ever say, like, how many flights did he make in the bombing? Or was this like a one and done?
No, no. He was on his third mission over Dresden to bomb it. That's the second part of the story. On the way back, the plane just got destroyed by the Luftwaffe. They lost two engines. His co-pilot got shot and was killed. My dad took two bullets, and he was able to get the plane over the English Channel and do a crash landing, a safe crash landing, and save the crew.
Wow.
And crazy.
Did he share those stories with you throughout your life or only later in life?
No, when he was 92, 93, 2 years before he died.
So he waited until he thought you were mature enough to hear it. Is that possible?
That's probably true, actually.
Right. No, I got you. That's crazy.
Well, maybe when you're younger, you don't want to ever talk about it. And when you realize you're closer to the end, you do want to share those stories or else they disappear. Because now Perry's able to tell us and you're able to tell your kids or tell other people about these stories from many years ago.
Now, once he opened up, was it floodgate stuff? Like he told you everything or no?
No, it was floodgate stuff. He told me a lot. He was also one of the first GIs that got to the concentration camp, Dachau, outside of Munich.
Right.
Yeah, not the first one there, but he was in that group that got there, and just some of the stories from that. It's incredible stuff that no one knows about today. It's really sad.
Yeah, well, that's why we have to make sure those stories get told. Thank you for sharing it, Perry, and have a great holiday if we don't talk to you again prior to Christmas. So I hate to transition from that to sports. It seems awkward to do that, but since Evan's already made an awkward transition this segment, I might as well just continue. Kenny Golladay was asked about the difference between Freddie Kitchens and Jason Garrett. Multiple choice, okay,
oh,
Evan?
God. Well, yeah, first of all, you know Kenny Golladay didn't like Jason Garrett.
Did he say, A, you saw us on Sunday. We only scored 13 points. We are what we are.
Mm-hmm.
Did he say, B, I've got nothing bad to say about Jason Garrett, but Freddie Kitchens is a much more competent offensive coordinator. Did he say, C, coming here is the biggest mistake of my life.
Imagine if he said that.
Did he say D? Freddie's much more open with us players and wants our input. Jason never asked. A, B, C, or D?
D.
You're going with D?
Yeah.
Really?
He's going with the... Wait, say it again so I can digest it.
Freddie's much more open with the players and hearing what the players have to offer. Jason didn't want any of our input.
Yeah, I'll go with that one.
You're going to go with that one?
Yeah.
Really? Over A, which was, you saw us play, we only scored 13 points. We are what we are.
No, I'm going with D.
You're not going with B?
No, stop trying to make me change my damn answer. And no, I'm not going with Kenny Golladay saying, I wish I didn't come here. I'm not going with that one.
That was C. I gave that a C because a lot of people you see is the default
right,
answer.
I'm not going with that one.
Here's the exact quote. I'm not saying there was an openness with Garrett, but Freddie did want to hear from us a little bit more.
I nailed it, man.
Yeah, yeah. Because you've been worth $40 million.
Yeah, he hasn't. I'll tell you that right now, he hasn't.
And Freddie Kitchens also decided to enjoy a moment today with the media. Before I tell you, let you hear that, I promised an update on Daniel Jones and Kadarius Toney. Daniel Jones, full on practice today. He is your starting quarterback, barring something crazy over the next 48 hours. And today's the last in-pad practice with tackling. Not that they tackle the quarterback anyway. They don't. But, you know, there's no more real practices anyway. So, you know, he's going to be your starting quarterback. And you need him to be. The New York Giants have to win this game to keep their wild card hopes alive. As silly as they may be, you know, hope is still hope, right? So that's that. Two, Kadarius Toney is listed as having a quad. That's the front top of your leg, Evan. And an oblique situation. He did not practice with the team.
He's not playing.
He worked out with the trainers, though.
He's not playing.
He wants to play, but
he can want to play all day. The biggest problem with Kadarius Toney is that he doesn't play enough.
I agree.
I mean, as impressive as he's looked when he's been on the field, guys barely played.
And then Freddie Kitchens decided it's time to have a little fun with the media. So we now present to you Spelling Bee Time with Freddie Kitchens.
Facetious, by the way, one of two words in the English language that have all the vowels in
there. Yeah, stop that. I didn't realize how bad the audio was. The audio is horrendous. You can't hear it. Can you hear that?
No.
Right. So I'll have to tell you what happened. Freddie Kitchens said, okay, it's word trivia time. What's one of only two words that I know of that has all five vowels in the word and the vowels are in order, meaning A-E-I-O-U?
And sometimes Y.
Sometimes Y does not count, I don't think. Yeah. I know. And he, I'll give you the answer.
A-E-I-O-U.
Yes.
A-E-I-O-U.
Which was actually a big disco hit back in the 70s.
A-E-I-O-U. Yeah.
And sometimes why? It was a huge roller rink song.
How
back
many
in
words
the day.
Have the...
He said there's two.
There's two?
I know one of them. And what? He acknowledged one of them at the press conference today. Which shows you that when you win a game, even though the Giants were terrible offensively mm-hmm. against the Eagles, and only because Roger can't catch a ball, Rieger can't catch a ball in the end zone, and Jalen Hurts didn't see a wide-open Devontae
Smith. You
got to
stop saying that. Like, I'm the Giants saying. Lost last year because yeah. Evan Ingram couldn't catch a football.
I agree. Okay.
It happens.
Hold on.
It's the NFL.
And every Giant fan tells us that.
Well, because we're doing a show in New York. Yeah. We're not in Philly.
But I'm saying...
Who cares about Jalen Rieger dropping
he's
passes?
He's the reason you won the game. Oh, so let's not get cocky and arrogant and start messing around. Get your ass back to practice and go play competent football. But now they're all, ha, 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 hoo, 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 hoo. Let's tell jokes. You scored 13 points. That being said, he did give out a trivia question.
So what's the answer?
The answer is, I only know one of the two words, so I'm going to give you the one I know. A-E-I. Do you have the A-I-U song I asked for moments ago or no?
Ah, A-E-I.
Facetious.
Yes.
The other word, I do not know what this word means. Let's don't look it up. Let's agree that we're not going to look it up.
I thought you were going to look it up and pretend
don't
like you know
it up,
what it means.
Okay? Don't look this word up, and let's see if we can guess the definition, okay?
Well, you already did, so you're not guessing the definition.
No, I didn't look it up.
Come on, your game is
I'm
predictable.
I'm not looking it up, okay?
Smart guy.
Abstemious.
I'm going to guess that means to abstain from doing something.
Abstemious.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to go with something that it sounds like, so I'm going to say it's like to abstain from doing something.
Well, no, that is not correct.
Okay.
I'm going to guess.
No, you're not guessing. You're telling us the answer,
oh, yeah,
but go ahead.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to tell you the answer.
You're guessing.
Not self-indulgent, especially when eating or drinking. For example.
I'm sort of right, dude.
No, you're not right at all.
I'm sure. What did I say? Was
you said to abstain. From.
Okay, and what is the definition again?
This is not to be self-indulgent.
I mean, yes. Hello.
We only had one bottle of wine. Oh, how very abstemious of you.
Yeah, like you're abstaining from having
abstaining
something.
Abstaining is not having anything.
Yeah. I didn't say I was 100% right, but I'm on the right track.
Being abstemious is limiting what you have.
So I'm sort of
everything
right.
In moderation. Oh, that's very abstemious of you.
Big Mac, do I get some credit for this?
You made a burger crack earlier, so no, you don't. You get no credit.
I
award you no points.
0 points?
Yeah.
You can't even give me like 40% credit.
I'll tell you what.
30% credit.
Tonight at the luxury suite at UBS Arena.
Yeah.
I want you to be abstemious when it comes to wing eating.
I will.
Okay?
And not tipping. No, wow. No abstemious tipping.
That's abstaining. That's not abstemious.
Well, I
tip.
I would tip tonight because I actually get a service. I didn't get a service the time I didn't tip.
Well, we'll see. 877-337-6666. Dana White tested positive for COVID. Who do you think he called for advice?
Joe Rogan.
That's right.
Am I right?
You're right.
Hey, he's Dr. Rogan. Why wouldn't you ask him for advice?
I love the fact that we've got ourselves a lockout. I'll explain why and get your take on that coming up. Plus, we have an update on Evan's favorite Japanese baseball team right after this on The Fan. Bring the game changer wherever you're going. Jack Daniel's Tennessee Whiskey is the perfect solution, whether it's a tailgate party or the roller rink. Head to your local retailer. Or log on to drizzly.com and make sure Jack Daniels is part of your game day plans. Jack Daniels Tennessee Whiskey, make it count. Please drink responsibly. Jack Daniels Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume, distilled and bottled by Jack Daniels Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. And real quick, you know the numbers, 877-337-6666. We're allowing you to protect a single athlete on all the teams that you love. You can only pick one going forward. Evan decided to let Kevin Durant be a free agent. He's protecting Jacob DeGrom. If you can only protect one, who's the one guy you protect next on The Fan?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.